October 19th, 2009. Living and Dying with Honor, Bible Study Lesson number 117. In the series within it, we have Obedience to God, a Man, Bible Study Lesson number 29. We're now going to get into the introduction of the governmental system by looking at the theocentric culture. Culture must be understood because of the zeitgeist, the spirit of the age, the philosophy that dominates the cultural system. So we must look at the theocentric government on the basis of the culture that existed. Introduce the whole concept of a theocentric culture. Explain it out to you in a way that you can understand what we're dealing with here in nations. The reason for that is I want you to listen to me. Adam, the first prophet, lived till 930 AF after the fall. His son Seth lived to 1042 after the fall. The second prophet, the third prophet, who was Enoch, was translated out in 987 by walking with God. And removed, so Seth outlived him by 55 years. The fourth prophet, Noah, did not die until 2066 AF after the fall. His son, Shem, died either 2156 or 2158 after the fall. Shem's son, Eber, or descendant Eber, not his son, Eber. Eber was actually Shem's great-great-grandson. Eber was alive until 2185 after the fall. Abraham passed away in 2121 after the fall, so Eber was alive when Abraham died. And Isaac died in 2226. We should understand that Eber outlived his son Peleg, his grandson Rego, his great-grandson Serug, his great-great-grandson Mayer, his great-great-great-great, let's see, would be his great-great-great-grandson Terah. Serug died in 2047, Mayer in 1995 AF, he's all alive after the fall, and Terah in 2081. Your word will not return void. accomplish what you designed it for. Father, we pray for grace, mercy, and peace upon our nation. We pray for revival in our country. Before it's too late, we realize if we're living in the last days, we do not know exactly how long that'll last. We know we're in them. The third after be that close, and we know these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. Thank you, Father, for your grace, mercy, and peace. In Christ's name, amen. We're living in exciting times in world history. I could read you. I've got a whole bunch of newspaper articles I want to read some quotes from, but not in this class. We'll save them. If the Lord allows me, more souls out. We keep teaching. We'll get to them for some illustrations of some things. The world is in chaos, and the world is in denial about the chaos. All kinds of things are being doing, are being created. The big news headline article in yesterday's paper relates to an orca card that they have out here now. It's a regional transportation card. If your company subsidizes the card, then the card monitors every time it's used, every place the person goes, they're tracking off if it's there, if it's the month they passed. I don't say you need a pass that ran that it was forgotten. It all goes to an automatic card system that records it. They can track people. You have to register your orca card, or you can't confirm that your money gets into it. They've already had problems with some of these things. That's where they can track every person that has one of your orca cards and doesn't pay, everybody's not paying cash. And paying cash is going to cost you more money. Regards to the transfer system, they're phasing out that they've had, reducing downtime and all kind of other things you can use it for. They admit that technically, they claim they're not going to do it, but technically they can track anybody that rides a bus in the metro part of the Seattle area and where they go. Over to town, Hunts Point, I believe, is the town. One town just east of Seattle here, though. Now has TV cameras set up at the other roads in and out there, and they film every car coming in, get the license plate, picture of the car, and all the rest, and name a law and order, and protect people from crimes there. And when the car enters the city, when the car leaves the little city. All kinds of things are happening to reduce down the freedom and the limitations upon things, and one day, after the rapture of the church, these things will be put into full existence in the worldwide system. You've already got things. You go to the store and you want to get a discount. They get to keep a record of everything you're buying. The Costco stores, the Safeway stores, the Kroger stores. You got your card to get your discount. The card puts every food item you buy into a computer system. Now, everything, all kind of information is being collected, and people wonder how it will be that one day will come when nobody will be able to buy and sell without the mark of the beast. Very simple. But I'll be raptured before that, so I'm not concerned about it. But I don't understand cultural history. I'm sorry. Major throat problem, but we keep trying to keep going. All right, the doctrine of the theocentric culture, introduction, part one. Part one, God existed before creation in perfect totality, in a perfect state of being. For language or accommodation, we call it the dispensation of the triune Godhead, i.e. Alpha, eternity past. In the beginning, which is without beginning God. That's my translation of it. The beginning is without beginning, the dispensation of the triune Godhead, God, the Son of Him, in the Hebrew. 2. 2. The dispensation of the triune Godhead is found in Scripture from the viewpoint of its eternal ages by the Greek phrase apotanoion. Apotanoion, meaning from the ages of the ages, Colossians 1:26. Three, the dispensation of Alpha is the perfect eternal state of infinity. The dispensation of Alpha, or the dispensation of Triune Godhead, is the perfect eternal state of infinity. God exists beyond all creation. God is infinite, and God exists in infinite. Infinity is an infinite state in the totality of perfection. the Father, the Son, the Spirit equally share without division all the essence and attributes of the Triune Godhead. Deuteronomy 6:4. Reading from the King James Translation. Hear, O Lord, hear Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Being the divine nature is infinite by necessity in his being, possessing self-existence. Exodus 3:14. We're all the way back now to the eternity past again for a reason. To bring it into the culture itself. Exodus 3:14. And God said to Moses, I am what I am. He said, thus shalt thou say the children of Israel, I am, has sent me. Exodus 6:30. And I appeared unto Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob by the name of God, I might have by the name of Jehovah, though that I had known unto them. Those Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I think Jehovah is an interesting name for it there. The self-existent eternal God. The divine nature is infinity by necessity of his being, possessing self-existence, secondly, in the book of Psalm 2:27. The same, and my days shall have no end. Malachi 3:6. For I am the Lord, I change not, therefore ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. James 1:17. Every good gift, every perfect gift is from above and coming down to the Father of lights, within his own name and see the shadow of pain. The divine nature is infinite by necessity of his being, possessing self-existence, immutability, and immunity. Isaiah 44:6. Thus said the Lord, the King of Israel, is Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first, I am the last, and beside me there is no God. Mark 12:29. And Jesus answered, the first and all the commandments says, Hear, Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. John 17:3. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Possible. The infinity of the triune Godhead implies that he is not a part of creation, he is not limited by creation, and that he cannot be confined to creation. So the triune Godhead is transcendent as well as immanent. Psalm 145:3. God is the man greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. Job 11:7-9. Canst thou by searching out find out God? Canst thou find out the Almighty and the perfection is high in heaven? What canst thou do deeper into hell walk? What canst thou know? The measure thereof is longer than the earth and broader than the sea. God is undefinable apart from the revelation of God. God is ununderstandable, incomprehensible apart from the revelation of God. But God has chosen to reveal himself to us. Isaiah 66:1. We continue to see his transcendence. Thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne, the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you build unto me, and where is the place of my rest? Let you look up for yourself, 1 Kings 8:27 and Romans 11:33. Question, that's right. A sentence does not simply mean freedom from merely spiritual restrictions, but rather means unlimited resources which are expressed by God's glory. One being, the triune God, who possesses the transitive attributes of eternity and therefore is without beginning or without ending. Deuteronomy 32:40. We've covered all this for you many times. Just a little review to introduce you to the whole concept of God's theocratic culture. For I apply unto heaven, I say, I live forever. Psalm 90, verse 2. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hast formed the earth and the world, and ever, and even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Genesis 21:33, Romans 1:20, 1 Timothy 1:17. Once again, God is therefore free from all succession of time and contains within himself the cause of time. E, the dispensation of triune God, with its technical necessary language of accommodation to explain the first cause and actions of God related to creation. Personal, the triune God, with its timeless, but God chose to act in a chronological manner in regard to creation. 4, in the dispensation of triune God, in Alpha, eternity past, the Father made an eternal grace covenant with the Son. Hebrews 13:20. Is brought again from the dead, our Lord Jesus, the great Spirit, is shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the everlasting covenant. 5, the eternal grace covenant is manifested through the Father's eternal grace protocol prior to the ages is eternally centered in the person of the eternal Son, Ephesians 2:11. According to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. 6, the Father's eternal grace protocol upon the ages was presented to the Son and the Spirit at a conference held during the dispensation of Alpha, Acts 2:23a. Him, the person of Jesus Christ, being delivered by the determined counsel and the foreknowledge of God. And the Father revealed his plan to the Son, John 5:20. For the Father loveth the Son, and showeth him all things that himself doeth, and he will show him greater works than these that you may marvel. John 8:26. I have many things to say to the judge of you, but he that sent me is true, and I speak of the words, those things which I have heard of him. 10:18b. And I apply it, when man taketh this, only don't virtue, no man taketh it from me, but I lay it down myself, I have the power to lay it down, I start his life, I have the power to take up this commandment have I received of my Father. Psalm 2:7 and Psalm 110:1, I'll let you read those for yourself. Be the Father revealed his plan to the Spirit, John 14:16. No one understands this is language of accommodation. God is omniscient, all knowing, all familiar to Godhead are. So we're using language of accommodation here. And I will pray the Father that he shall give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. Compare that to verses 12-15. Brother, I say to you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do, and greater works than these shall I do, because I go with my Father. And who said, you ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified. And the Son, if you should ask, him in my name, I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments. And finally, John 14, John 16:12-15, my apology. And I have many things to say to you, but cannot bear them now. I believe when the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, Verse 7, he shall hear that shall he speak, and he shall show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath of mine, therefore said I, he shall take of mine, and shall show it unto you. But thou the principle. God is omniscient. So scripture uses language of accommodation for finite man. 7, the Son agreed to the Father's eternal grace protocol for the ages. Psalm 40, verse 8. Sacrifice and offerings of this not desire, mine ears hast thou opened, burnt offerings and sin offerings hast thou not required. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book that is written to me. I delight to do thy will, O God, yea, the law is within my heart. Ephesians 1, 9 and 10. Having made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he had purposed in himself, in this dispensation, fullness of time, he might give it again in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven, which are on the earth, even in him. 9, the Father is perfect, and therefore his plan is perfect. Psalm 18:30. As for God, his will is perfect, the way of the Lord is tried, he is a buckler to all that trust in him. 10, the summation of the Father's plan is the revelation of his grace. Hebrews 4, 16. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time. Indeed. A, the throne represents power and authority. B, the Father has decreed that all salvation is by grace. Ephesians 2, 49. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love, when he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved, and he has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. For ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace, his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. C. Every member of the Adamic human race accepts the Father's grace gift of salvation is afterwards free to approach the Father's throne of grace through our Savior and High Priest, the Lord Jesus Christ, Hebrews 4, 14-16. So remember, we have a great High Priest in his past in the heavens, Jesus, Son of God, also fast our professions. We have not a High Priest which cannot be touched with the quiver of our infirmities. We have all been tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, we might obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. 11, the focal point of the plan is the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians 1, 4-7, the focal point is always Christ, not us. According as he, God the Father, has chosen us in him, Christ, in Christ, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy without blame. Before the love, having predestinated us in the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to his good pleasure and his will, the praise and glory of his grace, where he has made us accepted in the beloved, whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. 1 Peter 1, 20 and 21. Who really got foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in his last time for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Hebrews 1:1-5. Father, which at the time when the great manner spake in times past of the fathers by the prophets of the last days, spoken to us by his Son, and with the forehead of all things, who also made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and express image of his person, pointed all things by the word of his power, when he hath by himself purged our sin, set down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained an excellent name than they, for the which of the angels, saying any time, I, my son, this day have I begotten thee again, I said to him, I will be to him a father, he will be to me a son. Revelation 13:8. And all dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose name is not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. All those on the earth, even us, surrender to Christ, made who are saved during the tribulation, will take the mark of the beast and serve the Antichrist. There's no in between. Point 12, in the Father's grace plan, he conceived of the existence of man, and God revealing himself to man through the Son. Hebrews 1:11, which we just read, was John 1:18. When I have seen God any time, the only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he declared him, verse 14. And the Lord was made flesh and dwelt among us, we believe his glory, the glory is the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. 13, the Father's plan was perfect in totality because he knows the end from the beginning. Isaiah 46:9-10a. Of earth, for I am God, and there is no else. I am God, there is no light, and we declare in the end from the beginning, from ancient times, the things that are done, they are not yet done. 14, the Father's plans that are will not fail, any measure, great or small. Verse 10b, thy castle shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. So, 33:11. The castle of the Lord stand forever, the thoughts of his heart to all generations. Verse 15, the Father is omniscient, knew that man would sin, therefore made provision to redeem sinful man. Psalm 139:1-6. Search me and know me, thou knowest my lying sitting and my uprising, thou understandest my thoughts afar off, thou compassest my path and my lying down, and I acquainted with all my ways, for there is not a word in my tongue, but Lord, Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me, such knowledge is too wonderful for me, and is high I can ever attain to it. Proverbs 5:21. For the ways of man are the eyes of the Lord, and he parteth all his goings. Compared to Hebrews 2:17. Reconciliation for the sons of the people. Verse 16, the dispensation of triune Godhead, I, Alpha, the Son agreed to take the penalty for the future sinful Adamic human race. Hebrews 10:9-10. Then said I, Lord, I come to do thy will, O God, he taketh away the first, that he might establish the second, but that which will we have sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ was for all. Revelation 13:8b, the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. The Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Christ's death is in the decree and will of the Father. Verse 17, the Father's plan into action with the creation of the heavens. This is 1:1, the beginning, which was without beginning, God created the heavens. Well, 18, if I had unbound the dispensation of angels because angelic beings were present at the creation of the earth, Job 38, 4 to 7. Wast thou when I laid the foundation of the earth, declared at thy understanding, who laid the measures thereof, thou knowest, or who stretched thy line upon it, whereupon the foundation stair of fastened, who laid the cornerstone thereof, when the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy. For those who never deny the gap in Genesis chapter 1 explain the dispensation of the angelic world, which I call the dispensation of the sons of El. I missed the turnaround on the tape, so let me repeat what I just gave you there. The Father then brought into the dispensation of the sons of El, i.e. angelic beings or spirit beings, because angelic beings were present at the creation of the earth. Job 38, 1-7, I pointed out, for those who deny the gap in Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, I asked them to explain the dispensation of the sons of El. The egocentric arrogance of man refuses to give place to an extended time before Adam in which spirit beings lived, functioned, served God, and under Lucifer there was rebellion and spiritual warfare. The conquest of the spirit world, the fallen angels by the holy elect angels, their last trial and judgment of them, their sentence to the lake of fire, the appeal that they made, all these things took time. But since they were not subject to death as we know death, the time period is not the same as the time that God made for man. God restored the earth in 6 24-hour chronological days. I've taught that more than once, but don't make the mistake of ignoring the spirit world that came before us. At some point during the dispensation of angels, the earth was created by God, the heavens and the earth. We know this from the fact that we just read you the sons of God were present there in Job. The morning stars, Job 38:7 again, when the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God, when I, Elohim, shouted for joy. The earth was something special to the angelic world, evidently. What being Satan's original angelic sin led to the individual fall of all the spirit beings, and tried to the fall of other, not all, but of other spirit beings, and instigated the spiritual warfare of the angelic conflict. Isaiah 14, 12 to 17. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, the son of morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nation? For I said in that heart, I will ascend into the heavens, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God, I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation, the sides of the north, I will ascend upon the heights of the clouds, I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to the shield of the sides of the pit, hell, your King James says. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, is this the man that made the earth to tremble and that shake kingdoms, that made the world as a wilderness and destroyed the cities thereof and opened not the houses of princes? Put that with Ezekiel 28, 12 to 19. Son of man, take up the lamentation upon the king of Tyrus, and say unto him, thus saith the Lord God, thou seedest up the sun full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Thou hast been leading the garden of God, every precious stone was a covering, the stars, the topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, the carbuncle, and the gold, and the workmanship of thy tabrets, and thy pipes was prepared near that day that thou was created. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and thou set thee so. Thou wast in the holy mountain of God, thou hast walked up and down the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wert created till iniquity was found in thee. But the multitude of thy merchandise, they have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy the roof covered cherub from the midst of the stones of fire. Thy heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted by the wisdom of reason. And in thy brightness I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings that they may behold thee. Thou hast defiled the sanctuaries by the multitude of thy iniquities, by the iniquity of thy traffic. Therefore will I bring thee forth a fire from the midst of the earth, and will devour thee, and I will bring thee to ashes upon the earth in the sight of them that behold thee. All they that know thee among the people shall be astonished at thee. They shall be a terror, and never shalt thou be any more. Final judgment of Lucifer will be cast in a lake of fire. The end of a dispensation of the kingdom of God the Father on earth, which is the millennial reign of Christ. Verse 22, the earth was restored for the purpose of creating Adam and Eve, so that they could procreate the Adamic human race. Genesis 1, 3 to 28, we're not going to read that again right now. Verse 23, I have at the eternal life conference the dispensation of Alpha, the Father, and Father, for the Son to be the person, to be the first man, a heavenly man made in the image and likeness of God. Genesis 1, 27. Hey, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created him. Colossians 1, 14 to 20. Hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, and hath delivered us from the power of darkness, hath translated us in the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. Who is that? That's the dear Son. For by him are all things created that are in heaven and in the earth, visible and invisible, whether it be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him, who is before all things, and by him all things consist. He is the head of the body of the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, and that in all things he might have preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him all things, and Father in him should all fullness dwell. First Corinthians 15:45-47. Written, the first man Adam was a living soul, the last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, afterwards that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, and the second man is the Lord from heaven. Adam was created earthly, not created as a hypostatic God man, but as pure man. The eternal God took upon himself the created body that God would bring about in the womb of Mary and come forth in hypostatic union. But it was decreed that eternity past, the focal point, the center, the true first man would be the Lord Jesus Christ, God the Son, who is eternal because he's the person of Christ. Therefore, the Father would not prepare an Adamic human body for the Son's incarnation by hypostatic union until the fullness of time, Hebrews 10:5. Wherefore, when he cometh in the world, he saith, sacrifice and offerings I wouldest not, but a body that hast prepared for me. Galatians 4:4. When the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law. 4:25, the Son is the focal point of the Father's plans. The Son as the focal point of the Father's plans for the human body, or human body was designed. The Son as the focal point of the Father's plans human body was designed in the image of God. Genesis 1:27, over Colossians 2:9, and also Colossians 1:19. The one passage I've not read you, I read you the rest of them, so let's read 1:19. For it pleased the Father that him should all fullness dwell. 1:26, Adam was created in the image and likeness of God, but in the body designed after the body of God, of the God-man, the Lord Jesus Christ. Genesis 1:27b. See, we want to be arrogant. We want to push Christ out of the way as the focal point. No, Christ is the focal point. Man, female, created them. Put that with Genesis 5:1. In the book of the generation of Adam, the day that God created man, the likeness of God made he him. The likeness of God, the Son. 27, the Father's grace protocol upon the ages was progressively revealed and unfolded throughout Scripture until the fullness of times. Galatians 4:4, which we already read to you. And the Son of God was manifested in human flesh to fulfill the plan. An old familiar favorite passage of ours, John 1:14, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, we dwell his glory, and the glory is the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. With 1 John chapter 3, verse 5, a verse that we don't give you quite as often, Father should give you more often to keep reminding you of it. So I have a typographical error. What I want is 1 John chapter 2, verse 3. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. It's the spirit of Antichrist, wherefore ye have heard that it should come in even now is in the world. Christ came into the world. Verse 22 is chapter 2, verse 22 and 23. Who is a liar? He that denieth that Jesus is the Christ, who is Antichrist, and denieth the Father and the Son, who saith not the Son, the same, and not the Father. But he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. But 28, the Father's plan of unlimited atonement called for the Son to taste death for all men and the human race. Hebrews 2:9. Where we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, who suffered for death, crying with glory and honor, that he might, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. 1 John 2:2. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. 29. The Father's plan of grace is free to all who accept. Romans 3:24. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. 1/3 of the Father's elected in Christ, all who will be saved, and for them Christ's atonement, which is the Father's plan of particular redemption. The Father's elected in Christ, all who will be saved, and for them Christ's work of atonement. Is the Father's plan of particular redemption. Ephesians 1:4-5. Must separate the difference between unlimited atonement and election. Election is the blessing, and God has elected the redeemed. He does not, this does not prevent those who will not be redeemed from being saved. Separate concept, but yet they overlap because God is infinite God. Ephesians 1:4-5. According as he hath chosen, I hate that word there because the mistranslation should be elected for. Christ has elected us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy without blame before him in love, and predestinate us in the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself according to good pleasure of his will. Put that with 1 Peter 1:2-5. 1 Peter 1:2-5. Elect according to foreknowledge of God the Father through the sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again into a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to inherit his incorruptible and undefiled. That faith is not a way reserved in heaven for you, but except for the power of God through faith and the salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. 431, the Father's eternal grace protocol by the ages came forth from the Father's decree of will as the Father's divine decree of the ages. Isaiah 46:10. Declaring to them from the beginning and from ancient times the things that he had yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, I will do all my pleasure. 132, the Father's protocol for the ages called for the creation of Adam as a physically full-grown adult, with the need to be educated in how to live and function, and the Son was to educate him. Adam was born, or created, I should say, a totally adult person, but with the highest IQ of anybody that was ever born on the face of the earth, except the person of our Lord Jesus Christ, of course, but without really no experiential knowledge of anything. As he had to be educated as an adult, he came to an adult without spiritual knowledge because he was created an adult, or without temporal knowledge either. Genesis 2:4-24. I'm not going to read that long passage now. I'll let you read it. We've just gone through it several times down there. But I'm going to call your attention to a couple of things there. These are the generations of the heavens and the earth. And they were created the day the Lord God made the heavens and the earth. Verse 7, the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Verse 16, the Lord God commanded man, saying, in the tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt eat of it, for the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. The Son was to provide Adam with an education and training necessary for him to live in fellowship with God in a theocentric culture. And this brings us to introduction part 2 of the theocentric culture. Alright, point 1, in the dispensation of Alpha, the Father made an eternal grace contract with the Son, Hebrews 13:20. I will repeat in the first part to pull everything together here for a different perspective, though. Now, to the God of peace that brought him again from the dead, our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, to the blood of the everlasting covenant. Point 2. This contrast includes the Son taking upon himself a human nature by means of hypostatic union. Hebrews 2:14. Then as children are partakers of flesh and blood, he, that's the Lord Jesus, God the Son, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that's the hypostatic union, that through death he might destroy him and have the power of death, that is the devil. 1:3. Who is the brightness of his glory, literally the effulgence of his glory, and the express image of his person, the expression of his substance, literally. So we can translate this in being the effulgence of his glory. An expression of his substance. Upon all things by the word of his power. He had by himself purged our sins, set himself down on the right hand of the majesty on high. That's my corrected translation. Matthew 1:23. Behold, a virgin shall be a child, she shall bring forth a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Alright, 8:3. The Son's human nature was made in the image of the Father's eternal nature. Genesis 1:27a. So God created man in his own image. 4. Adam's human nature was made in the image of the Son, so God-man nature, but without the deity. Genesis 1:27b, in the image of God created him, man and female created them. 5:1-2. This is 5:1-2. This is the book of the generation of Adam, the day that God created man in the likeness of God, made him male and female, created them and blessed them and called their name Adam in the day when they were created. Therefore, Adam did not have a divine nature, but divinity was reflected in the sinless, perfect triune nature, consisting of body, soul, and spirit. Adam did not have a divine nature, but divinity was reflected in the sinless, perfect triune nature of body, soul, and spirit. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Verse 23. The way God of peace sanctify you, Lord, I pray God, your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless in the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 6. God is spirit, and as such does not have a corporal body. God, John 4:24, God is spirit. Peace is never worship him as worship him as spirit and truth. Verse 7, Adam was created perfect, Genesis 1:27b. In the image of God created him, male and female created them, in verse 31. And God saw the day that he had made, and behold, it was very good in the evening and the morning. Then the sixth day. 8, Adam was created as an adult with a perfect intellectual quotient, that's the IQ, but in need of instruction for the purpose of educating and training him. 9, the Father has never revealed himself in a direct manner to any member of the Adamic human race. John 1:18, no man has seen God at any time, the only begotten Son which is in the bosom of the Father hath declared him. 4, the Father's contract with the Son made the Son the revealed member of the triune Godhead. That's part B. The only begotten Son which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. 11, the Father's contract with the Son made him the heir of all creation. Colossians 1:18. He is the head of the body of the church, which is the beginning of the firstborn of the dead, and all things he might have the preeminence. Ephesians 1:9-10. Having made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he has purposed in himself in dispensation, fullness of time, he might go together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven, which are on the earth, even in him. Life. I've given every green herb for me, and it was so. And God said that everything that was made, behold, it was very good, the evening and the morning, or the sixth day. Part 15. It is important to note that the original proposal for the Edenic covenant does not mention procreation. And when we get to Adam and Eve, it does include this provision. Look again at Genesis 1:26, and God said, let us make man an image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Now look at verse 28. And God blessed them, and God said, let them be fruitful and multiply, and replace the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. This is an important thing to observe, the difference between verse 26 and verse 28, to realize that there's a covenant with the Son and the sub-covenant between the Son and Adam. Verse 16, Adam was created in the image of God so he could fellowship with God. Verse 9:1-3b, truly our fellowship is with the Father, with His Son, Jesus Christ, the Lord. Verse 17, the culture that was created for Adam was theocentric because Adam could fellowship with his Creator God. He was given the revelation of the triune Godhead. Verse 18, the documentation that Adam knew was living in a theocentric creation was used in the Tower of Jehovah Elohim, which he recorded those events in his monograph in Genesis 2:7, 8:9, 15:16, 18:21, and 22. He wrote of Jehovah Elohim. Do not forget that. Point 19, Adam was not simply placed upon the earth to wander where he chose to go, but was given a home in the Garden of Eden, Genesis 2:15. Lord God took man and put him in the Garden of Eden. 12, the Son prepared the Garden of Eden specifically for Adam so that he could live in the land that would supply all his temporal needs. 2:8-14, you can read that for yourself. We've gone through this before, just in this series. That's what the Son gave Adam the Garden of Eden as Adam's personal state. This implied that Adam was given information concerning the value of having a home of his own and land to go with it. The homestead, as we used to call it down south. Point 21, the home place. Point 21, the Son commanded Adam to dress. The Hebrew word abad, ABAD, means to till the soil to keep his production to the highest level. This implies instruction training, Genesis 2:15b. Question of the Garden had no thorns or thistles. This was not hard work, but it was clearly productive work. Question of his command was a positive precept for Adam to keep. Question of he was to be a farmer, planting and sowing his crops for maximum production. Question of the Son educated Adam in botany. 22, the Son commanded Adam to keep. Shamar, the Hebrew S-H-A-M-A-R, meaning to guard. The Garden implies instruction and training regarding the angelic conflict. How much knowledge he got, we do not know. We had to have given some revelation. First of all, Adam was warned to be on guard against something that would be a danger to him and to his garden, but no details are given as to what the warning is concerning. First of all, his command was a negative precept for Adam to keep. First of all, Adam was not deceived by Satan speaking through the serpent, 1 Timothy 2:14. He was not deceived. It is important to understand. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. First of all, this implies that the woman is to be on guard and have included some minimal knowledge of the spirit world. Mark 23. The Son gave him freedom to use his own volition to choose what he wanted to eat on any given day, and all the fruit and vegetables in the garden were available to him except for one. Genesis 2:16. By the way, a number of theologians believe that Adam was able to see and communicate with angels directly with angelic beings. The fact that Satan appeared to the serpent for deception of Eve, maybe because the serpent was to separate the serpent from her contact with angelic beings, since no animals were capable of speaking as Adam knew them, and the soul of the animals are known, and we don't know for a fact that though. Just in case you get across that in reading, I never observed it. And the Lamb God commanded man, saying, of every tree of the garden, thou mayest freely eat. But the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. bread, what kind of bread is said for bread unto even the tree that has a good leaven, and one that do so will spiritually die. For they thou eatest thereof die, and thou shalt surely die. First of all, the theocentric culture provided a work environment, a work ethic, personal responsibilities, and personal accountability. Point 25. Adam did not record the instructions he received concerning the value of eating the tree of life, but at the very least he knew it would perpetuate his life if he was spiritually dead. Genesis 2:9. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to sight and good for food, the tree of life, and the midst of the garden, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. All of verse 17, when the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt eat of it, from the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die, with 3:22. The Lord God said, behold, a man become one of us to know good and evil. Now let us put forth his hand and take also the tree of life and eat and live forever. So he knew about this. I will pick up here in the next class and continue with the theocentric kingdom. Father, we thank you for the privilege of teaching your word, for your word is absolute truth. We claim your promise, your word will not come void. We'll accomplish all you desire for. Thank you for allowing us to teach this class today. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray, say even so, come, Lord Jesus. Amen.